Okay. This is Cindy O'Neill Dady. Welcome to our Exceptional Connections Networking Bonus Call. I'm the founder of Exceptional Connections, as well as our newly launched educational series for networking mastery. Today's a beautiful Tuesday, April 18th, also known as Tax Deadline Day. But in any regards, happy Tuesday to everyone on the call, as well as to those of you who are listening on this recording. We are super excited that Don Jones was the featured guest speaker at our sold-out April 11th Exceptional Connections Luncheon. At this dynamic event, she spoke about why women buy, successfully selling to women and different personalities. So it's my pleasure and great honor to introduce Don as the presenter of our bonus call today that's being offered to our Exceptional Connections community and beyond. We have a lot of people who were not at our event in April who are joining us as well. So before I read a little bio on Dawn, I just want to add that she's become a dear friend, and I just respect her so much, and I'm so thankful to have her in my life. So Dawn, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, Cindy. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. So Dawn Jones is an international speaker, certified coach, corporate trainer, and best-selling author of The Top Personality Challenges, as well as her newly released book, Why Women Buy, How to Sell to the World's Largest Market. What a great, insights that she offers in this book. If you haven't received it, if you haven't gotten a chance to get one in your hands already, go to Amazon and check it out. So Dawn is known as the go-to expert for helping business owners monetize their intellectual property, whether she's helping them create audio programs, get published, or close more sales. Dawn's insights and experience help her clients earn royalty income, catch and keep customers, and ultimately get paid to do what they love for a living while leaving a lasting legacy. So I'm excited to be able to turn the call over to Dawn. She's going to share for 20 to 30 minutes about why women buy the 14-point marketing checklist for selling to women, and then we'll... after she's spoken for a bit, we'll open the call up for Q&A, and our plan is to end before or promptly at 1. So be sure to stay on the line until the end, as we'll be sharing with our listeners an opportunity to also reserve your seat at our upcoming Skill Shop with Jeff Wagner. So without further ado, Dawn, I'm going to turn the call over to you, my dear.
All right. Well, thank you, Cindy, and thanks for having me on your program today. Yes, I did write the book, Why Women Buy, and I wrote it for a couple of reasons. One, because as a woman who purchases, I want to make sure that men and women understand how to sell to us, because for years, the tactical approach has been very linear, very similar to the way that a man's brain processes information, kind of like running up and down a football field. Research has shown that men process information running from front to back of their brain, either on the left side or on the right side, but they do not like to zigzag. Whereas women, we process our information back and forth from the right hemisphere to the left hemisphere. So we can both get to the same end result, only women tend to take more of a roundabout way to get there. And that's really critical when it comes to selling to us. So that was the main reason that I wrote the book was, number one, as a woman who purchases, and number two, when people who sell to us, if they understand how to sell to us, they're going to get better results. And as I was working with Sherry Prindle, who is the contributor to the book, Why Women Buy, she has a 14-point marketing checklist. And so what I've done is I've taken that, and since some people did experience that on the most recent webinar, I've changed a few things in there. I'll emphasize a few different things. We will still go through the 14 points, but I'm going to introduce the do's and the don'ts at the beginning. So during the time, I'll cover the 14-point marketing checklist specifically for selling to women, and then I'm also going to talk about the do's and don'ts, and I'll include the do's and don'ts of marketing selling to women at the beginning. All right, so let's go with starting with your why. I want you to be thinking about what are you good at doing? When you are marketing to somebody, especially a woman, when you are selling a product, we've got to figure out why you are doing what you're doing. And people can tell, especially us women, we tend to be a bit more intuitive when it comes to working with people and being sold to or through the selling process. Not to say that men aren't. Generally speaking, though, we tend to rely more on our feelings and our intuition more so than men, according to research. So with that, think about what you're good at doing when you're marketing your product, when you're selling your services. What do you love to do? What do you think about? And why? What do people come to you already for? And that usually tends to be some areas where you would naturally be doing what you're doing. So if you already know what you're doing, why you're doing it, think about what motivates you. And I'm going to walk through the 14 P's. I'm going to give you those first so you can write them down. We do have a checklist that you can download from whywomenbuy.net, whywomenbuy.net, and you can download the 14-point marketing checklist from there. But I will give it to you verbally. So I'm going to run through the numbers or the names first, numbers and names first, and then I will go into the details of each one. So number one is purpose. Number one is purpose. Number two is product. What are your products? Number three, people. To whom are you targeting? Number four, planks. And this is how do you bridge their current beliefs to your solution. So planks is number four. Number five is positioning. What makes you unique? Why should they come to you? Why should they act now? Number six is pain. What pain are they experiencing currently, and what keeps them up at night? What are their fears or frustrations, barriers, complaints, and pain questions? What pain are they having? Pleasure. What do they want? What do they hope that your service will help reveal? Remove for them or create for them? What pleasure are you offering? Are you offering them freedom? What are some benefit statements in there? And then process is number eight. Process is number eight. How can you help them? What is your process that will bring them to the solution that they are looking for? And then number nine is promise. Do you guarantee to the quality of the sale or the results of your products? How do you offer support beyond the sale? What is your promise to them? Pivot, how can you connect the pain and pleasure to the product, price, or proposition? So, for example, you're pivoting. You've heard what they've said. Now, how do you pivot them to what you're doing that will provide that solution? Pink spoons, how can you give them an experience of the benefit of working with you and understand the difference between a pink spoon and a serving size? Proposition. How will you configure your offering? What analogy or story can you use to give them a compelling vision? Price, how will you set up your business? Will it be online? Will it be a retail store? Will you be going to their place of business? How will you get there, and how can they get your services? And then possibility, how will the world benefit from your offering, and what makes you passionate about it? So you've got the 14 P's. As I said, I'll go into the detail of expanding those. I do want to go through the do's and don'ts for selling to women. We did this at the end of our conversation yesterday, when we did our webinar, and we found that there was a lot of engagement with this. So what I want to do is I want to give you some do's and don'ts now, and then if you have questions that arise from these do's and don'ts, write them down, and then during the question and answer time, I will answer those. You can also ask me questions based on the 14 P's as well. All right, so number one, do make small talk unrelated to the sale. Do build on the sale on relationship. Do remember details about her. Do listen to what's important to her. Do emphasize what you sell connects to what she wants, and do let her have time to confer with others before deciding. So that's just the overview of do's. I will come back to those at the end. Let me go through don'ts. Do not keep a neutral expression when listening. Women will oftentimes misinterpret that as bored or uninterested. Do not assume smiling and nodding signal a yes. There has been much research done to show that when a woman is listening, she nods her head and she smiles. Unfortunately, when a man is nodding his head and smiling, that indicates a yes, I'm on board with you, I'm moving forward with you. Many times women will do this just out of politeness. It's the way a lot of women were raised, and it's just what we do. We tend to smile and nod, and it shows that we're listening and we're paying attention. So if you are a woman selling to another woman, don't assume that smiling and nodding signals a yes, and then same if you're a man selling to a woman. Don't assume questions or hesitation signals weakness or non-interest. Quite the contrary. When I was researching for the book Why Women Buy, one of the things that came up time and time again in several places that I researched, ranging from Yale to Harvard to Deloitte Consulting, was that when a woman is being sold to, she tends to ask more questions. The more questions she asks, the more interested she is. The danger is if a woman is not asking you questions during the presentation. If she's not asking, she's probably not interested. Or she's probably not interested. Because if she really is interested, she will continue to ask further questions. Don't take it as an interference or an interruption. Don't go through your spiel without checking in. Now, this goes back to the way, and I indicated this in the book, men tend to run their thought process linear back and forth like a football field. They tend to use more of the left process side of the brain. And when you go through a spiel, usually a lot of people are trained features and benefits. Here's the feature. Here's how it's going to benefit you. The problem is a lot of people give those in statement format instead of question format, kind of like I'm doing right now. I'm giving a lot of statements rather than a lot of questions. So what I'm doing is information, giving information, and then we have that time for question and answer as we go, and I will weave in questions as I go through the presentation to demonstrate. The main thing here is when you're doing this with a woman, you give her information and then you ask her a question such as, you told me that you wanted to decrease stress in your life. Is that right? Now, I've given the statement, but then I've asked the question to follow up. So that's one way to check in, because if you just give your spiel and then say, are we all on the same page? Is everything good so far? She may just smile and nod. And remember what we said earlier a little bit about smiling and nodding. That's not necessarily an indicator that she is interested in following along. Don't interject solutions while she is speaking. Let her finish. And don't assume she has already made up her mind. If she had, she may not be listening to you. All right, let's move on. Hang on a sec. Okay, so let's go to the first P, which is purpose. I want you to be thinking about your business. Why does your business exist? What is your contribution, your mission, and your message? And you probably know already that you need to have some sort of a mission statement. And you've probably heard that, you know, companies that have mission statements tend to be more focused with their vision statement, their mission statement. So the vision is, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And the mission is, how are you going to accomplish that? And having it written down is extremely powerful, because when times get tough and when you feel discouraged or when you just don't feel like running your own business, you can refer to your mission statement and your vision statement and remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. So having it written down is critical, not just having it in your head. And then your purpose, what do you want? What motivates you? What do you want people to do now, intermittently, and ultimately? So for example, when we started our safety training company back in the early 90s, we wanted to provide the highest quality CPR first aid training at reasonable prices. We wanted to provide this to businesses that were already providing it for their customers or for their employees. And so we set out on a mission to accomplish just that. By having that as a mission and a vision statement, what it gave us the ability to do was really focus in on every decision that we made. Is this decision going to fulfill the mission of providing the highest quality training? Is it going to fulfill the mission of having reasonable prices? Are we going to train people to be able to confidently respond to an emergency setting? you know, those are all of the questions. So having that vision, having that mission very clearly for yourself helps you determine what you do next. Now, what do you want people to do ultimately? What do you want them to have? What do you want them to do? What do they need to know to take action? That should probably conjure up some questions for you. So if you have a question specific for your business, hold it, and I will address that during the Q&A time. Now, some people go, okay, well, how do I find my purpose? And I was very fascinated to hear how Sherry Prindle helps coach people through that process. Now, Sherry is a master coach. She is also the founder of the Professional Coach Academy. And one of the things that she helps people do is figure out what is their purpose in understanding why they're running in business, why are they providing a service or a product for people. And her process is very interesting because some of the research that she did concluded that people tend to discover their purpose based on their own pain, going through it, and coming out the other side and wanting to provide solutions for people. So for example, somebody who is in healthcare may have had a traumatic experience as a child or with a family member or loved one, and they made a decision that they were going to go into healthcare and they were going to be a great healthcare provider to make sure that never happens to somebody else. Another person may go into financial planning because something happened to themselves, that, you know, themselves as a child or in their own home, and they experience a great pain, and they want to make sure that somebody else doesn't go through that. So I want you to be thinking about what is your earliest painful memory, usually between the ages of 3 to 4. And what I want you to do right now is think about, does that connect to your purpose? What you are doing right now, does it have anything to do with either a memory you experienced between the ages of 3 to 4, or perhaps when you were a teen, or where you were in a stage in your life where you had to make a decision as an adult? Because apparently, whatever the things are that have caused an impact on us, we will set out to make sure that it doesn't happen to someone else. Now, when I first heard Sherry go through this, I thought, okay, this is getting a little bit woo-woo here. I don't know. What does finding your purpose have to do with a painful memory when you're a kid? And after the call, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, wow, everything that I do in my life right now that has the most purpose has been based and is based on a previous painful experience in my life that I came through the other side, and I want to make sure that somebody else doesn't go through that as well. The most recent thing that I'm doing is I help speakers become authors and authors become speakers so that they can earn royalty income. And I remember the reason I started to do that, and that was actually, and that got set in motion back in about 2012, so it was still pretty recent, but it was because I had the painful experience of waking up and realizing I didn't have a retirement plan. And a lot of other speakers and authors also didn't have retirement plans. And so part of my purpose when I made a huge shift in my direction I was going in my career was to help other people who did not have a retirement plan understand how to monetize their intellectual property and earn royalty income. So whether it was 3 or 4 years old, a teenager, or early adult, or even a recent aha moment where you went through some pain and came out on the other side, what did it mean to you? What did you decide about yourself? And what did you decide about the world? And notice how you spend your life reliving and reinforcing your story. Kind of an interesting side point on that. Let's move on. So we've covered purpose. Some things that you can do is once you've identified your purpose, and this can be a process for people. It's not exactly something that takes a day. It will be obviously a lifelong process, but I want you to be thinking about and writing down some things that you experienced and how you can help other people either have a positive experience or avoid a negative experience. Let's move on to the second one, product. People buy the result, not the item. You've probably heard sell the sizzle, not the steak. No, people don't care so much about the steak. They want to know the sizzle. Why should I get this? How am I going to feel better buying this? What tangibles are they buying? What benefits are they buying? Sell to the want and deliver the need. So, for example, one of the things that I provide with my company, we've got two divisions. We've got a safety training division and a corporate training division. The corporate training division, people need to learn to be better communicators. It's one of the top things that every company needs is how to be a better communicator. Yet if I tell them I'm going to teach them how to be a better communicator, they're thinking, I don't know if I need that. But if I tell them, they're going to have their team members do what they want them to do in the way the team member wants to do it and help the company meet their goals and objectives. They're like, okay, yeah, I want that. I want my team members to do what I want them to do. So even though I'm coming in and teaching communications, I'm telling them the sizzle. This is what's going to be the benefit of doing this. Realize this, when you're looking for the sizzle for your business, you've got to find out what do people want. And here are some top New Year's resolutions. Okay, people don't necessarily want to, like I said, be better communicators or, go through painful dieting or exercise programs, but they do want to improve relationships. They do want to eat healthy food. They do want to manage spending and their debt. They do want to quit smoking or any other habit, reduce, reuse, recycle. They want to, be more green. They want to learn something new, get a better education, enjoy life more, get organized, manage stress, spend more time with family. You get the gist. And so what I want you to be thinking about with your business is how does your business allow them to do that? So, for example, Maureen, with your business, one of the things that you do is you help people sleep at night. And they're like, huh? Yeah, because you have that peace of mind knowing that you can call an attorney 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, if you ever needed to. And that's part of what you sell. You sell peace of mind. You sell security. And those are things that are critical to people. You sell being able to not be taken advantage of by somebody who has more money who can afford an attorney because you have an attorney on retainer through your services. So that's an example of what you're giving them with the sizzle. The product, obviously, would in this case would be a legal insurance that a person could use to protect themselves or their family. But most people don't realize what they need. They just know what problem they want to solve. All right, let's move on to the third one, people. To whom are you targeting? Do they need or want what you offer? And I'm going to stick with Maureen for just a moment here because we did this at a recent luncheon. And one of the people that Maureen had said she is targeting is business owners and their employee benefits department. So one of the first things that we did when we wrote down her presentation was assess the audience. Who is in the audience? So she asked, who is a business owner? The majority of the people in the room raised their hand, over 95%. She asked who had more than 5 employees, and I think 1 or 2 people raised their hand. And so now if her target audience is people, business owners that have 5 or more employees, in that group, that wasn't necessarily her target audience, unless she's going to sell individual programs to them, which is fine. She absolutely can do that, and I'll refer it back to our safety training business. We decided to become a business-to-business. We do not do individual training. So we don't do first aid CPR for the average person. We do it with their company, and we specialize in group training. So again, those are things we decided early on. What we did do, though, in order to provide for people who still needed individual services is we contract out with an organization. They take care of all of the registration for individuals. So when an individual calls on our phone tree, we have a process in place that says, if you're a corporation, press 1. If for scheduling, if you're an individual who needs training, press 2. And pressing 2 takes them through our phone tree straight to the organization that takes care of our scheduling. Now, if Maureen provides those services to individual business owners, she can still do that, but she'll know right up front that this isn't necessarily her target person. She's just providing a service for somebody who needs it, and she can move on. She's not going to come back necessarily and service that account unless, of course, they want that or they want to go into developing a business with Maureen. All right, so whom are you targeting? What do they want? Do they need or want? Who already meets their needs, and where do they hang out? So with who meets their needs, in our case, we knew that the Heart Association and the Red Cross were already meeting their needs for the business-to-business. So we ran some research. Those were the top two providers. We also knew that some things that we did were very different. First of all, we only hired full-time firefighters, EMTs, paramedics, people who had the field experience. Plus, we hired excellent communicators because two reasons. Number one, if you go to most first aid companies, they don't hire professionals. They hire volunteers. And many volunteers would read right from a book. And if you've ever sat through a first aid and CPR class and been bored to tears or thought to yourself, I know more than the instructor presenting, you're not alone. So we found a chink in the armor, so to speak. We found a weakness that was not being fulfilled. And then we also found that there were firefighters and paramedics that were starting their own business because they could go perform first aid and CPR, yet they weren't necessarily the best communicators. They were great at doing their job, but they weren't great at teaching other people how to do it. Or they didn't keep good records and they weren't good business people. So they were in business today and you'd be lucky if you got a call back from them tomorrow or if they were even, you know, reachable in next year. So we decided to take both of those, the highest quality first aid CPR with the highest quality speaker, professional presenters, and professional first aid rescuers, paramedics, firefighters, people who have the field experience. And so immediately we eliminated our other two competition because, no, they didn't do that. They didn't provide that. So who already meets their needs and what do you do that's different than them? Where do they hang out? Do they hang out at LinkedIn? Do they hang out at SHRM, at human resource conferences? Do they go to the chamber meetings? Do they hang out at groups online? You don't necessarily want to go where your competition is. You want to go where the people are who use your services. And you can actually go to upcloseandpersona.com. That's upcloseandpersona.com. And that can help you figure out your persona and what you bring that's unique to the marketplace. A couple of other things on people. You've got your target audience. When we started our safety training company, we decided to focus in initially on hospitality and on retail because those were two areas we were very, very comfortable in. And so if you have a business and you're targeting a business, what is your area of specialty? Where do you like to go? I know that Donna Shirey, for example, she has a handyman business, and she goes where people need her services. She's got her target market completely identified, so she knows where to find her customer. And she has something unique to offer because she's a woman-owned handyman business service. So who's your target? What do they struggle with? What are their life events? What are their hobbies, their passions? What solutions can you offer? What types of jobs do they tend to have? What knowledge do they have? What is their expertise? So those are just some questions you can ask yourself when you're figuring out your target audience. Let's move on. We've covered people. Let's move on to planks. And planks are the bridges that connect your customer, potential customer, from where they are to where you want them to be. In order to do that, you have to figure out what do they believe now and what do they need to believe in order to want to work with you. What do they believe now and what do they need to believe? So, for example, I knew of a cosmetic salesperson. She was selling Mary Kay Cosmetics. And depending on your relationship with your Mary Kay Cosmetics representative, you either love that person and those products or you don't necessarily care for them. You've probably been approached, if you're a woman, by somebody selling some type of a cosmetic such as Mary Kay. Well, there were two different Mary Kay salespeople. One, she had approached a woman telling her, you know, why don't you come in and get a free facial? Well, the woman responded to that Mary Kay representative by saying, oh, thank you, no, I'm not interested. I only use all natural products. Now, that Mary Kay representative could have said, oh, what kinds of products do you like? What are you currently using? What do you like about those products? Now, you see how that would build a plank to try to have some common ground so she can sell her free facial. Okay, give her that pink spoon. Instead, what that Mary Kay representative said was, Well, actually, no products are all natural. If they were, they wouldn't. You'd have to keep them in the refrigerator. Do you have to keep your products in the refrigerator? How do you think that response worked with this woman? And if you're thinking, no, don't do that, you're absolutely right. You don't want to do that. You don't want to argue with a decision she's already making. Of course she knows all of the products aren't completely natural, yet she's saying she wants more plant-based products. She doesn't want petroleum-based products. She wants something that's healthy for her skin, healthy for the environment, and that's a plank. Ask those questions to find out. Contrast that with a different Mary Kay representative who approached the same woman and got the same response. And what the second Mary Kay representative said was, wow, have you seen the new products that are out yet? Oh, you would be amazed. This is not the Mary Kay of 10 years ago, not even the Mary Kay of 5 years ago. You've got to come in and get a facial. Just be pampered. We'll have a wonderful day together, and let me show you some great changes, and I think you'll see for yourself that you'll probably find some things that you'll like. Wow, huge difference. So planks are not to smack people upside the head with a 2x4. They are to build a bridge with that person. So those are some examples of how you can build a bridge from their current beliefs to your solution. A couple things, realize their series of beliefs include they have a need, for example, to be organized, to be safe, to be healthy, to be smart, to be secure. They have a need. It's really painful. I want to get in shape. I want to be healthy. Whatever it is, it's painful. Delve into that pain. Ask them what it's costing them. Ask them what it's costing them in time. Ask them what's it costing them in their relationships and their personal well-being. And then let them come to the conclusion they don't want the pain. And then give them permission to not have to suffer. They don't have to stay in the pain. And let them come to that conclusion. Many people, once they've identified the pain in their life, they realize it won't go away. It'll only get worse. They've tried to fix it on their own and they failed. It is possible to get rid of without the right help, and perhaps your product or service is the right help for them. Things will be better, easier, and sooner. So that's a 10-step process of belief. I have a need. It's really painful. I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to have to stay in this pain. It won't go away on its own. It will get only worse. I've tried to fix it and failed. It's possible for me to get rid of with the right help. This product, in case this case yours, is possibly the right help. Things will get better, easier, and sooner. It's a simple 10-step process. And again, this is the marketing piece before you're selling to that person. And this can also be in your sales presentation. Let's move on. Positioning. What makes you unique? What makes you unique? Why should they try you? So for example, Leah, if you are doing editing, what makes you unique? And I'm going to answer that since I can't hear you. You can give me a corrected answer if it's different than what I say about you. So one of the things maybe, Leah, that would make you unique is if you're asking questions, you know, something along the pain, don't you hate it when you see a typo or grammar mistake on somebody's marketing materials? And the person says, yeah, oh, don't you hate it even more when you find out it's yours, your stuff? And it's like, oops, yeah. Now you've got a little bit of humor in there, but you're letting them feel that pain. And then what if I told you that not only is it easy to have those grammatic mistakes fixed, it's also painless? Because a lot of people think about grammar. They're thinking about the school teacher who has the, you know, glasses on the end of the nose just waiting to find the grammar mistake. And so people try to hide them. But if you're the one who comes alongside and says, hey, that's okay. You're good at doing what you do. It's not your job to be good at grammar. That's my job. Let me help you. That's a plank. That's positioning. That's cool. So give something that people can benefit from you that makes you unique. So again, with positioning, when we were able to get into some Fortune 50 companies, some pretty top companies here in the Northwest, and even travel the country, and we put the defibrillator program in the Mall of America. We did some traveling to different parts of the world for one of our clients, and it's like, why on God's green earth would somebody hire a company to go train people in their different properties around the world? Well, apparently what we did was unique. We worked with some high-end clients who understood, and we understood the dynamics and the political things that went on behind the scenes with some of these high-end clients, and little things. For example, executive team, they didn't want to do their first aid and CPR in front of their employees because they're used to the people giving the orders, not being reviewed by their employees or their subordinates. So we would do training, and we would separate the different groups. We'd separate them by training dates. And we would just, you know, come in and let them know, here's what we'll do. Everybody will feel confident. If you'd like to go in a private room, we can do that with you. So each person got to go at their level. They got to feel comfortable. So what do you do that makes you unique that nobody else is doing? And why should they act now? Why should they act now? Pain. What are they suffering from? What keeps them up at night? What are their fears, frustrations, barriers, complaints? And then go through the so what. You know, so what? Pose this as a pain position. You know, ask them, what are the issues you'd like solved? Now, usually they don't know. But if you rephrase the question as, what problems are you having? And that's a very general open question. I'm trying to keep it generic here for the sake of not knowing who's listening, depending on what your product or your service is. But if you can identify what keeps people up at night and ask that question, ask it of yourself, what do I provide that will help them solve that problem? We did this with Lisa Hawkinson. And if there's the pain of feeling frustrated, of going into the kitchen and feeling overwhelmed, not knowing where things are, feeling like a failure, you know, feeling embarrassed, having to excuse your home, when people come over, do you find yourself saying, oh, I'm sorry, the place is such a mess? And people respond politely by saying, oh, don't worry, I'm coming to see you, not your house. Yet you know darn well they're looking around at your house, even if they say they don't, because you brought attention to it. And even if you didn't, they might be looking at it anyway. So there's this pain associated with being disorganized. And so Lisa's solution is, what if we could eliminate that pain? What if every time you walked into your kitchen, it was a first-class experience? Everything had its place. There was a place for everything. Now you're asking questions, and the person is responding by saying, yes, I want to feel that relief. All right, let's move on. Pleasure. What are your target clients' dreams, desires? What can they expect to be? How can they expect to be different after working with you? You know, will they feel invigorated, motivated, as though they're contributing, making a difference in people's lives, finishing what they've started, being organized, taking care of their family? What are the things that your clients will experience? And they've got to be big pleasures, not just little ones. You can do the little ones too. I mean, Calgon did this. Calgon, take me away. If you take a bath in Calgon, all of your problems will be washed down the drain. Okay, so you can address the little ones, but realize even Calgon in their bath salt commercial basically said, if you use our product, all of the stresses and worries of life will just be taken care of. And if anything, you'll at least feel better to face them after you're done with the bath. So write this out as a specific, compelling benefit. For example, we did this with our safety training company way back when. Our guarantee is to provide the highest quality training at reasonable prices. Not only do your people leave with their certification cards, they also leave with the confidence to apply what they've learned in an emergency situation. It's like, wow, okay, sign me up. That's what we want. We want people to respond, not just be certified. Process. What process do you use to help them? What can they expect? How do you bring them from pain to pleasure? What makes it fascinating? What do you call it? So I'll refer to my coaching business on this side, because we've got the safety training, and then we've got the corporate training side. And on that corporate training side for the coaching, one of the things I do is help people monetize their intellectual property. And once a person has determined they have intellectual property, they want to leave it, you know, leave this world a better place and leave it for other people to learn from. And, oh, as a bonus, they actually will get paid royalties from their intellectual property. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm interested. How do I do that? Well, some things that you do is make sure, you know, you uniquely position yourself. So, for example, when I'm working with a client, I say, well, first of all, we've got to identify what it is. We've got to write it out. We've got to write it specifically for audio format because that is the number one way that people are learning information in this day and age, more so than webinars, more so than reading books, because you can pop an audio into your car while you're fixing dinner, doing laundry, working out, and you can take it with you on the fly. And in fact, the publisher I work with is doubling the number of releases this year from his last year in audio files and cutting back half in hard copy book file. It is at that place in our world where people want a digital download. And so what I tell people to look for is you've got to make sure you choose somebody who understands your industry, and then you have to have the director, producer, engineer, the person who can actually direct the process, what is going to happen, how is it going to happen, direct you from start to finish, and even during the recording session. The producer has to be able to understand your content and be able to make it so that it's relevant to the person who's listening to your services. They've got to, you know, it's like it's got to be in first person tense. It's got to be asking questions. It's got to be identifying the pain. You've got to put the marketing into that audio so people understand that they really do need what you have. Then there's the engineer side. The engineer makes you sound good. They take the pops and the S's out of the recording. They put enough breath in there. They have nice intro music, outro music. So these are things that you've got to look for when you're choosing somebody. And so once a person identifies, oh, okay, I want to make money off my intellectual property. I need a producer, a director, and an engineer. And now, how do I do that? What do I do next? Then you go through the process. The process is step one, we have 5 coaching calls, 2 hours each, or 10 coaching calls, 1 hour each. We do this all online. And you're walking them through verbally and in writing. So I know, for example, I'm going to go back to Maureen again. Maureen, you have your process that you take people through. And thankfully, because you have an organization who provides the process for you, you can take them through in a linear format what you provide and what your services will do for them. Now you can also bring in that asking questions in the midst of it or answering questions as you're presenting your information. So the process is critical. What can they expect? How do they know they have received what they paid for? How do you bring them from pain to pleasure? What makes it fascinating? And what do you call it? What is what you do? What is it called? All right, let's move on. Scripting, putting the last three together to form a marketing headline. Do you suffer from pain? What if, you know, you could relieve that pain or provide pleasure? Here's how, and that would be through the process. So it's pain, pleasure, process. You know, do you suffer from pain? What if you could have pleasure? Here's how, through my process. So you put that together through scripting. You know, I created a curriculum back in the early 2000s for speakers and performers, business people. Now it's expanded to coaches and authors and people who schedule themselves, but it's called the Successful Booking Program. And I created it because I used to be terrified of cold calling. And when we started our business, our safety training business back in the 90s, I didn't know how to make a phone call or a cold call. So I created a process that built us up to, you know, we have over 1,000 corporate clients that we service throughout, you know, every year they come back to us, every 2 years they get renewed, and we've been doing that for over 25 years. So this was a process I created out of fear, out of pain, and it served me, it served our employees that we hired, it served people who had zero sales experience because they just followed the process, and now it's taken on a life of its own. It's just a successful booking program that people can go through. It's a 30-day program to help walk them through from where they are to where they need to go. It's a simple process. If you can do that for your business, you know, coaches are a dime a dozen. You know, how do you get the How do you get the consultant or the coach off your front porch? You know, pay them for the pizza. They're a dime a dozen. But if a coach or a consultant has a process they can take you through and they can show you deliverables, boy, that just puts them at the top of the food chain because you know it's not just a touchy-feely, I'm going to make this up as we go along. Make sure your process is in place and that what you deliver is unique. Promise, do you deliver what you say you will? Do you guarantee your services? How do you capture your testimonials and referrals? So with your process, make sure you are delivering a promise. For us in our business over 25 years, we guaranteed to meet or exceed their training expectations, or their training would be free. We put our money where our mouth is. Let's move on. Pivot. What do they already know that you can connect your message to? So, for example, I'm working with Andrew Ballard right now, who is a marketing expert. And one of the things he has labeled his work is following a GPS system. Most people understand GPS, global positioning, thank you, system. And his whole, it's a growth program for small businesses. And so he connects his message to something they are already familiar with, and then identify how you could fit the pieces together and how you transition them from interest to action. And that's your pivot. So the call to action, you know, is what the, you know, it has what I've shown you today make sense? Is this something that will benefit you? Okay, here's the next step in the process. We can either do A or B or C. Based on your time, based on your budget, what do you think is going to be best for you? So you're taking them, turning that road with them. You've walked them through that presentation, that marketing outreach. Now you're moving into the sales part where you're doing a call to action. Pink Spoons, make sure you give them a free sample. If you can, I understand all businesses can't, but if you can, give them a pink spoon, give them a free sample, just like Baskin-Robbins gives you a sample. Because there's a law of reciprocity where people feel obligated to give back to you when you have given something to them that helps them. Proposition, how do you configure your offering? How do you make it compelling? What do you call it? What analogy or story can you use to give them a vision of this? You know, give them, paint them that picture. Here's the proposition. Yes, I understand you're 30 pounds overweight right now. What if you could follow a simple system, have a coach come alongside you, and in the next 30 days you could actually drop up to half of those 30 pounds that you want to lose? Would that be something that, would that change your life? It's like, give them a vision. Make sure it's a realistic vision. Make sure you can follow through on that. Make sure you guarantee it. But give them a vision. Price. Have you set up your business? How much do you charge? Will you do a payment plan? Do you have specials? Do you do pro bono work or bartering? Do you sell based on value, prestige, or something else? All of these are critical, and we could spend a lot of time going into those. For the sake of time, I will save that for question and answer. Possibility, why is working with you a great decision for them? How does the world benefit from what you offer? And what gives you passion for your brand? The possibility would be the last one. What are the possibilities? How are you leaving this world a better place because of your services? That brings me to the end of the 14 T's and the do's and don'ts, and we have a few more minutes for questions, so I'll turn it back over to Cindy.
All right. Well, Dawn, I am just amazed at all the information you packed into this call. Thank you so much. And I especially love all the, I especially love just your stories, your personal stories, and weaving in with some of the listeners, you know, their platforms, so that is really very relatable. So awesome. Thank you so much for that. I really enjoyed the number four, planks, because I really think it is important to create those bridges with our customers, and to support them where they're at, and you know where they could be to be able to take their business or their pain point to the next level. So thank
right.
you for that.
You're welcome. And I think because people are vulnerable when they've exposed their pain, and the last thing they want to do is be judged or called stupid for not taking action. And so this is where it's critical that coming alongside a person, validating them, and creating a vision of what could be if they worked with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge plank. So thank
it
you.
It is. And really, I like the way you take it from being a plank, which they're doing by themselves, to a bridge, which you're walking right beside them, and you know, supporting them on that journey.
Good.
So we'll go ahead and open it up for Q&A here. So I went ahead and unmuted everybody, since everybody has been so great here in just being able to take advantage of this opportunity with Dawn. So if you have any questions, feel free to chime in. Or even comments. If there's something that that Dawn shared that really resonated with you, that's a fun place to be able to jump in as well. So everyone should be unmuted.
Hi, this is Maureen. Dawn.
Hi, Maureen.
Yeah. Phenomenal, and I can't wait to go back and really listen to the replay. So what I loved is that you pointed out that women smile and nod, and it's not exactly a buying signal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, I know I do that. I didn't really realize that. So that's a great thing to be aware of for me when other people are doing that. And I would love to talk to you more, at another time about, you know, how to delve deeper into this with from the Legal Shield standpoint, because I'm trying to do, you know, build it around other things. So I'm very interested to talk to you more about taking this a little further. So
perfect. All right. Well, we can connect. We can connect after the call and figure out what's best for you. Because absolutely, I love what you do.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's fine. No worry.
Because we're leaving soon after this call. So.
Fun! Fun. We'll have a good time. No worries. We can connect via email. That's fine.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. But yeah, I liked what Cindy said too about the plank. How, you know, and using the Mary Kay example, that was so perfect because we all just do that and don't plank it, as you said. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of great tips.
So well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, and I do have some filler. If anybody wants me to cover more on price, I had to bite my tongue because I looked at the clock and said, oh, got to open for Q&A. I do have some filler on price that I wanted to go into unless somebody has a specific question. So I'll give you a moment to think about a question, and then I'll move into setting up your pricing. And again, if you have a question, you may need to star 6 yourself because you may have muted yourself. If you did, you can just hit star 6 and it should unmute you, or it'll say mute. And then just tell me your name and ask your question. I'll wait for just about 10 more seconds and then I'll jump into pricing.
This is Leah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Leah, yes.
Okay, so for what I do and the kinds of people I deal with, I can't do a hard sell.
Okay.
I'm not selling that kind of product or service. I'm dealing with half of my market are insecure writers, and their dream is VO. So that's their dream. They have a message. They have a novel. I deal with marketing people. That's a totally different. I have to have two separate messages and two ways of dealing with my clients. So for those soft people, the writers, the insecure writer who kind of had a, you know, I don't want to give them a hard sell. That's going to turn them off. But at the same time, they have that dream. They want to be published. They want to get those good reviews on Amazon. So I'm aware of that. And the bridge for me is how do I get them to understand that it's worth the money? Because the money scares them.
Okay. Sure.
So that's
my
challenge with the novel writers, with those individual authors. Marketing firms are fine. They know they need it. They pay more. So that's
all right. Let me ask you a couple questions first. First of all, do your writers come to you and say, "I am an insecure writer"? Do they tell you that, or how do they describe themselves?
Well, when they come to me, they know they need me. It's the ones that I meet at Wild Networking, and I meet a lot of people who say, "Oh, I have a great family story. I would love to get it, you know. I've been writing it for years. I've written a historical novel, and it's sitting in the drawer." I would just—it's those people that you know. You,
okay.
That it would be great to get their stuff out, because you can find some great authors out there, but it's those are the people I'm talking about.
Okay, so here's how we would go through the pain-pleasure process. First of all, identify what it is they're doing. Get a real feel for it. You know, let them tell you their story, which I'm guessing you probably do already. You have that engagement, that conversation. Let them tell you what it is that they're excited about. What is their message that they want to get out? Hear what they have to say, because at this point, they are selling themselves on writing their book. The next point is, first of all, validating what they have to say. If you believe that their story is something that could be published and people would buy, validate them. Say, wow, that's extremely unique. Wow, that, nobody's doing that. Or, yeah, there was another person who did that, and this was the great success they had with their book. So validate them genuinely and sincerely if it is something that you believe could be something that could be published. And even ask them, wow, would you like to see this on Amazon, climbing to the charts to be a bestseller? You know, who do you want to reach with this? How do you want to impact people? Just ask them questions so that they get excited about their project. And it goes from the back recesses of their brain, that it's where it's been sitting for years, to the forefront of their mind, to the possibility of turning from a dream into a goal, into something tangible. Once they're at that place, the next question is, okay, do you have an editor? Who's your editor? Just assume that they know they need an editor. And if they kind of give you that blank stare, like, oh, I can't afford an editor. Oh, I don't have an editor. Oh, well, I'm a good writer. Yeah, a lot of great writers are just that, great writers. That's why they have editors. Because you ever get that when you work with somebody and they're too close to their own stuff to see it? And an editor's job is to come in and see the big picture, see the grammatical errors, see the content errors. I mean, that's just the editor's job. So you're kind of defining from a third-person perspective at this point, Leah, what an editor does. But you're assuming from the get-go, you have an editor, right? It's like, well, if you're serious about it, everybody has an editor. Every book has an editor. And if not, ooh, you've probably heard the horror stories. Now, this is where you would create the pain. Again, this is based on truth. This is not about trying to trick somebody into getting your services. This is based on truth. It's like, ooh, you've heard the horror stories and seen the books that have been poorly written, and you think to yourself, oh, that's just terrible. Who would let that go out published the way it is? They obviously didn't have a grammatic editor or a grammar editor. And then you can educate them. There's two kinds of editors, and I'm assuming here. I don't know your job. You can, change it as needed. But,
editors.
There's a content editor, and then there's a grammar editor. So I'm hearing you say you're great at grammar, so you'd probably just be needing a content editor. I'm hearing you say you're great at content, but you'd probably just be needing a grammar editor. Is that right? And let them answer you, yeah, because I'm really great with the content. Because nobody wants to be called an insecure writer. They do want to be told they're great at creating content. They're great at stories. They're great at being creative. And so now what you're doing is you're building an alignment with them, building on their strengths, drawing that out from them, and then telling them just as a matter of factly, oh, everybody needs an editor. They either need a content editor or they need a grammar editor. Oh, so you're really great at content, so chances are you would probably just need the grammar side. Is that safe to say? And so you're asking the question in your process. You go, okay, let me tell you what I do and how I could possibly help you. Now, when I just did hear, though, with you, Leah, is let me tell you what I do and how I could possibly help you. It's not a definitive, because people get nervous, especially women, when you're giving them a definitive of what you will do for them at this point in the presentation. So you're presenting what you do, how you do it, how people can breathe easy, how they can know that they've got their best foot forward, and how they've got their content out there, and they're no longer excusing that typo on page 73 in their book or whatever it is. Because you've taken the time to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Then you can even go as far, at this point people will go, oh, I can't afford you, or I can't afford an editor. And this is where, here's a couple things you can put in your hip pocket. Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that. And really, it's kind of like when it comes down to it, getting your words out there, a writer can't afford not to have an editor. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Again, you're saying it, a writer, an author, can't afford not to have an editor. If you want to be a best-selling author, you've got to have a great title, you've got to have a great cover. That catches them, but you got to keep them in your book and have it be something that they can read easy and understand. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Again, you're telling them, and then you're asking them, and of course they're going to say yes. And then this is where you go into your pricing. I have several options available. We have online options. We have face-to-face options. I consider myself the Thomas Kincaid of editing. You know, do you need a postcard or do you want an original? Now, by just giving that, you've given them something to laugh and reduce the financial tension. You would have your pricing together and let them know what they're going to get. And this would obviously take a little bit more time than what we have now, because I know we've come to the end of our Q&A time on the call, but I will stay on the call to answer more questions. I know you may have to stop it, Cindy. But is that helpful for you, Leah, to at least broach the subject with them and take them to the next level?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let me give you, yeah. I want to give you one more thing here, Cindy. Stay with me for a second.
Oh, you're
this
fine,
is also
fine.
Critical. Okay, I did this with a client who I have a couple of beach house projects, and people come to, they go through my process of monetizing their intellectual property, and they spend anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 for a beach house experience to come over here and record it and get pampered, and we do all of the writing online and prepping for the audio. And I had one gal who's a dear friend, and she said to me, she had agreed she wanted to do one of the packages. And she didn't want to do a full beach house experience, but she wanted to do a partial. And then she came back, so we had agreed on her budget. And then she came back, and she came back with a third of her original budget. And she said, okay, Dawn, I'm going to shoot straight with you. This is all I can afford. What can I get for this? And I said, well, you're going to get something that you're not happy with. I just gave her a straight answer, because I knew what I would be delivering for her was going to cost more than what she was putting on the table. And she goes, well, I've got a recording studio I could go with here. Is it possible I could go there and then we could look at getting this published? I go, you can. I said, here's what happens 9 times out of 10. Because you either only have a director or a producer or an engineer, you only have one of the three, what ends up happening is that money you spent, you'll spend 3 times as much to get it fixed. And every time you send out your product, you'll excuse it. You'll apologize for it. You'll be embarrassed for it. And finally, it'll just end up sitting on a shelf, and you won't sell it. So save that money. Make the investment. Do it right from the start. And she ended up doing it. So that's where I would go with your services, Leah. When they tell you they only have this much to work with, tell them, you know, they ask you, what is it going to, you know, can you do that? Say, you know, I'm here's what I can do. And if you spend that with somebody else, you'll end up coming to me and spending more. Save that money, invest it here. And then this is where you can go into your payment arrangements. If you want to do 50% down and then 2 payments for the rest of your services. I am very specific, though, when I am working with a client, especially if you're in a service industry, they have to have some skin in the game. They have to put a down payment down. Otherwise, they won't take it seriously. You've probably found that when you give your services away for free, people have less value in them. So make sure when you agree with it with somebody, you let them know up front your terms. Here are the terms, either up in front, paid in full, or 50%, and then the final pay, you know, 2 payments and the final one on product delivery, however you decide to do it. Those are a couple things that will help.
That's how, at least working with independent authors, that's what most editors do. They ask for 50% up front. Clearly, I'm working with a marketing firm, being paid by the hour. I'm not going to get that, but that's the nature of working with marketing firms. You know, you get paid every month, but that's different. They have money. You know, you're going to get paid. This is great. Yeah,
right.
this is really great. Helpful in softening up the message. So,
well, good. Well, thanks, Leah.
Yeah. This gives me a lot to think about, because they do want that. They want to see their name on that book cover. That is the thrill of why they're doing it. And that
keep that vision in front of them.
Yeah.
Yep. And just keep that vision in front of them.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want. I hear it over and over again. So, okay, good.
Thank you, Leah, for your great question. I really think that the questions that were asked really connected the dots to your 14 points and really kind of flesh them out. So thank you, everybody, for your wonderful Q&A. I'm going to close now, but I wanted to ask Dawn to help me out on this part a little bit. So for any of our listeners who are at our March Exceptional Connections Luncheon with our guest speaker, Jeff Wagner, or on his bonus call on March 17th, you've heard about the third Exceptional Connections Educational Series for Networking Mastery Skill Shop that he'll be offering on Tuesday, May 23rd. And he talked about the Advent 5 process from his book, Discover the Unseen. So I think since I have Dawn on the line, who's worked with and been friends with Jeff for years, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity for you to share a little bit about Jeff and your experience and the opportunity that our possibly listeners and beyond are going to be able to enjoy in attending his two-hour skill shop on the 23rd.
Absolutely, Cindy. And I just, do you want to hit the mute button? I'm hearing a funky fuzz.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I just recently spoke with Jeff as we are preparing for his workshop, and I got some more insights. And the purpose part is very, very pivotal. In fact, we are putting together a little Zoom video to help people prepare for the conference. So he's going above and beyond. He really wants people to make sure they're prepared to make a break and make a change in their business and in their personal growth. So he, just a big picture overview of if someone's listening to this that doesn't know Jeff, and then I'll tell you what that break is that he is offering. So Jeff was the person that many people aspire to be. You know, six-figure, seven-figure income, properties here, properties abroad, corporate jet, the works. And, you know, money was not a problem for him. He had climbed to the top of the corporate ladder, worked with great executives like Jack Welch, with Zig Ziglar, spent the last 2 years of Zig Ziglar's life with Zig as his right-hand man, helping him to leave his legacy for the next generation. And really, you know, that this is the man that worked with people who were helping other people, you know, meet their visions and meet their goals and aspirations. They were coming to Jeff. He was the true consultant that helped the executives leave a lasting legacy. Well, in the midst of all of this, when he was working with these companies, before he got to the place where he was helping them leave their lasting legacy, he was the guy who was kind of a henchman. He'd go into companies, look at what was working, look at what wasn't working, and make cuts. Didn't matter who the people were, how long they'd been there. Got to downsize, got to get rid of these people, got to get the right people in the right seats on the bus. And if you saw the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney, he was that guy who'd have to come in and advise the executive team, you know, how to get rid of people and how to keep people and how to make money for the shareholders and the investors. And one day he woke up and he realized that's not what his life was all about. And he quit. He quit corporate America. He told his corporate jet pilot, I'm probably not going to see you again. And the pilot said, oh, no, did they let you go? And Jeff smiled and said, no, I'm quitting. And the pilot said, why? Why would you quit? You have it all. He goes, I have it all, and I have nothing. So he quit and really did some soul searching. And in the process, he wrote a book called Discover the Unseen because he realized he had raced through life and was missing what was most important, and that was what was right in front of him that he wasn't seeing. And so in his Advent 5 process, which Cindy just alluded to, he takes people through a five-step process. It's a five-day program traditionally, and he's going to be giving a scaled-down version of it in his skill shop that he's doing in May. And the way to prepare for it is by identifying that very first P that we talked about today, and that was purpose. We're going to do a little video clip, and Cindy will get that out in the next couple of weeks to help you prepare for that, and he's going to help you drill down to figure out what is your purpose, why are you doing what you're doing, how can you help people make a difference. And as he refers to Zig Ziglar many times, he said, Zig said, if you help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want. And Jeff said, I used to laugh at that and go, okay, well, whatever. I still got to pay the light bill. I still got to get this done. I still want to make money. And he realized after touring with Zig for 2 years, wow, I get this. If I help enough people, genuinely help, my motivation is to help people, I will get what I need as well. And it's just a change in thinking, and it's discovering the unseen, going through the Advent 5 process, and going to your very core beliefs and values to help shape the direction that you're going with your life and with your business. So he will be doing that in the next skill shop, and Cindy has all the details for that.
Wow, thank you so much, Dawn. That was a beautiful, just really introduction of Jeff, if people haven't already met him, and also the book and the Advent 5 process. So thank you so much for that. That was awesome. So if anyone's on this call and they're intrigued, today is the last day of the Early Bird Special, and it ends today at April 18th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you can go to exceptionalconnectionsnetworking.com, go to our website, and click on events and page down and click on the link for Jeff Wagner's skill shop on May 23rd. That's probably the easiest way I can offer you. Don't despair. The It's Not Too Late rate is still going to be available for a couple weeks. And as I mentioned, we're looking for a larger boat to host our event in. But I would encourage anyone who is wanting to register to also go on Amazon and look up the book, Discover the Unseen. The author's name is listed as T.J. Wagner. And
T as in Tom, J as in John, Wagoner, W-A-G-O-N-E-R. Yep.
Perfect, yes. And get a hold of his book because it is just, I'm on my fourth read. And just so many gems in there, and it really gives you a good foundation for his two-hour skill shop that he's offering. So spend a little more time on this, but this, you know, is going to be one of our third skill shop for the year, and then Dawn and I are going to be collaborating on something in October, so stay tuned for more news on that. So Dawn, thank you so very much for your time and for sharing all these wonderful gems with us, not only at our Exceptional Connections event on April 11th, but also, you know, the wonderful 14-point, you know, checklist that
marketing
you provided
checklist.
Us with today.
Yep.
Yes.
My pleasure. Well, it was great being here, and I look forward to seeing you all again next month. The days are running together. All right.
All right. Well, stay tuned for more, guys, because Dawn and I are having fun working together, and we've got some more things in store for you at the end of the year, and Dawn is going to be collaborating with our skill shop with Jeff. So thank you again for all of that, and for everyone on the line, hope you have a wonderful day and get those taxes done, and for those on the replay, you know, wonderful opportunity. I'm going to be listening to it a couple times to fill in my notes here. So thank you again.
Oh, and Cindy? Cindy,
sure.
Oh, we didn't give the DawnJones.net website. If anyone has questions or wants to see more, you can go to the Dawn Jones. It's DawnJones.net. Or if you want to get the Why Women Buy book, it's WhyWomenBuy.net. All right.
Awesome. And thank you, because I was remiss in saying giving people an opportunity if they want to learn more or work with you. Is there anything else you'd want to share?
No, that's, I was so caught up in just making sure to deliver the great content that I completely forgot about the plug, so
no,
we're good.
No, that's great. I always try to do that too, and so good. So, yeah, you're a wealth of information, and I love the way all the processes that you've created can actually translate for each and every one of our businesses to take it to the next level. So
cool.
Thank you again for that, and thanks for everyone being on the call, and I'll signing off here. Bye-bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute so we can have a couple people. If you want to say goodbye,
you're welcome.
Too.
All right. Thanks, Cindy. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.